Today's daf is daf Nun Vav. We got to the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph. We're discussing the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Asi, who was the opinion who thought it was about Umdina. We're going back for a second. We had a machlokas even further back in the Mishnah, Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Then when a person writes off the Ksuba, so anything that's written in the Ksuba, ready b'shas Erisin is obligated. But any Tosefes Ksuba, that's machlokas. Chachamim thought even b'shas Erisin, a person's willing, a man's willing to give up that Tosefes to his wife, he's obligated. And if he were to take a divorce or die, she gets the even Tosefes. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thought, no, that doesn't take place, that the chiyuv doesn't exist until they actually get married, because the umdin of the Baal is that he only wants to give over the Tosefes if they actually get married.
So what is the actual umdin? What's the portion of umdin?
The machshava, his thought, his intention. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, everybody both agrees, the top of Nun Vavam and Aleph, I will read that again, Ela tervayu azi basar umdina. Both opinions think it's basar umdina. Man damar halacha shaper. The one who passes like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah makes sense because the umdina of a husband is typically to only be obligated to pay that tosefes once they get married. So that makes sense. Whoever passes like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And man damar ein halacha. The one who says we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but we pass like the chamim that even mishas irsin is a chiv to pay the tosefes. Hachanami umdin daita. That too is totally on the das of the baal. Well, what's umdin daita? What's his das? Mishum ikuvi daitahu, v'ha ikuvi le daita, because he wants to further the relationship with his kala, Stephen Mishas Erison, he's willing to give up that money, the Tosefes, in order to strengthen that bond. So now this is what we got up to yesterday. The Gemara says four lines from the top of Yosef, Rav Chanina, Kamed Rabbi Yane. Rav Chanina was sitting in front of Rabbi Yane. V'kamer halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He said, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the chi of Tosefes does not kick in until Shas Nisun. So Amr Lei, so Rabbi Yanai says back, so poke kari kracha livra, go and call outside and say, ain halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We do not paskin that way. So I'm Rabbi Yitzhak bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu, who is Rav. Rashi tells us this refers to Rav. He quoted the name of Rav. Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Nachman Didei Amar Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So we have big machlokas. Amar Rav had a paskin. V'Nehardai Mishmei Rav Nachman Amri Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. V'Af Agav Dolat Rav Nachman. Remember, we've seen this in the past. Rav Nachman was a very aggressive individual. So even though Rav Nachman had cursed anybody who said that V'Amar Kol Daina Didon K'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Hachi V'Hachi Tevei. Any dain who judges in favor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the chiv only kicks in b'shas erisin, b'shas nisun rather, this and this, whatever that means, should happen to him. He cursed such an individual. Even though Rabbi Nachman was so strong and about this position, still afil hachi says the Gemara halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'hil halacha the ma'isa k'Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. So that's
but
how
Rabbi
we pass.
Nachman also holds k'Rabbi
Rav Nachman, there are two Rav Nachmans, I think.
One is Rav Nachman Shimon Rav Shmuel, right? And the other is Rav Nachman himself.
Right, so no, Rav Nachman Didei says, Ein halacha. Right, so he said not that way, and he cursed anybody who did follow that way, but in the end of the day, we paskin otherwise. But they're just good to see the personality of Rav Nachman throughout Shas. This is something consistent you see about him. But he... No, it's Kavod HaTorah.
You should curse.
What?
Cursing.
This is, we find that a few places, such things.
Doesn't make it
fun. What?
Doesn't make it fun.
Okay. Well, you take it, Rav Nachman. Says the Gemara. But Rabin. So Rabin asks the following question. Let's say they got married, but there is no bia as of yet. So Rashi explained that this question is asked in the world of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds that b'shas nisun is when the chiv of Tosefes kicks in. So what if there's chuppah but no bia? Will the chiv kick in or not? We're trying to really get narrowed down what exactly is the mechayiv of the mammon. Is it the chuppah or is it the bia? So chibas chuppah, the Gemara explains, kona, or chibas bia kona. Is it the endearment, the chiba of the chuppah being together? Now we have this connection with each other. We are a husband and wife. Is that enough? Or is the chibas bia, only bia, that's mechayiv the tosefes? That's the shiloh. So says the Gemara, brings the Uriah Toshma. The Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef taught us, Shelo kasav lo el al chibas laila harishon. That's his language. It is only written on chibas laila harishon. So what does laila harishon mean? That too is ambiguous. So the Gemara says, bishma, sorry, iam as bishma. If you say chibas chuppah kone Hainu damar laila rishon. If you're talking about achivas kruah chuppah, but only the first night is achivas chuppah, the first night that they are actually married, that's laila rishon. That's why I limited it only to the first night. But ella iyamis chibas bia kona. If it's the bia, then bia laila rishon isam mikam eilach lesa. Let's say a scenario happens, which is the Gemara talks about it and happens to be often times lemaisa. But let's say the first night they got married, bia didn't take place. It took place the second or third night or fourth night. So would that imply from Rav Yosef it wouldn't be effective? There'd be no chiv tosefes ksuva. Certainly not. So the fact that he says belaila rishon, there's only one thing that's dafka belaila rishon. Only chivas chuppah takes place laila rishon. As opposed to chivas bia could take place on a different night, a later night of their marriage. So it must be Rav Yosef thinks it's chivas chuppah.
Or we can study that from the tosefes.
What?
Like we learned yesterday.
What was that?
It's every night that he doesn't detach me, she can.
The doctor, right. Says the Gemara, v'elamai chuppah, so what is it? Elamai must be chuppah. So the Gemara said, wait a second. So but another limitation is, Rav Yosef says, belaila rishon. So that implies that chuppah only belaila, isa b'yumama lesa. Chuppah can only take place at night. I've been to chuppahs that have been before Shkia. I've been to chuppahs that have even been in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. So you could certainly do it during the daytime of chuppah. Gemara says, wait a second. L'tameich, according to you, who you think is about bia, let's say. So bia balaila isa b'yama lesa. So bia is only permitted at nighttime, but it's not permitted during the daytime. But ha'amar Rava. Rava says, im haya b'beis eifel mutter. But if it's a dark house, the shades are closed, even b'yom, bia is permitted. So the word laila cannot be dafka laila, because whether you interpret the statement of Rav Yosef to be about chuppah, or you interpret it to be about bia, either way, laila is lav dafka, because both of them are permitted by yom. So the question becomes still, what's Rav Yosef talking about? So the Gemara explains, Holokashya, Orach Ara Kamashmalam, Debiya Belaila. So I know I interpret it to be really referring to Bia. So if it's talking about Bia, so why does it say Belaila? Even by Yom, you have permitted to have Bia? No, Gemara is telling us that Derech Eretz, Orach Ara, Derech Eretz is to have Bia only Belaila, La Bayom. But Ela Chufa Kashya. But if you're going to interpret Rav Yosef's statement to be a chuppah, so why mention night? Why is there an instant, why is there an inyan to have chuppah balayla only? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, no, chuppah nami lokash. Even if you interpret Rav Yosef's words to be about chuppah, it makes sense to specify laila. Why? Nami lokash. Came in the stam chuppah labia kaima orach ara kamash melon de balayla. So since chuppah is typically meant to lead to bia, and the bia is supposed to be derech eretz, supposed to be a belaila, so therefore they said chuppah should also be belaila. So from chuppah to bia, they all take place at night. I've never heard. Now, I don't see this being brought down in halacha that there's such an inyan to have chuppah dafka belaila. I don't know if that exists. I'm just looking at the
the opposite. Some people make sure that the chuppah is on a certain day, and like sometimes you do a chuppah on days that the next day you cannot, you want to get married on a certain day.
Right.
Sure
right, those are, I think, for technical reasons. That there is certain inyan, and the Ramah talks
in
about
summer, most chuppahs are
exactly just practical reasons. But I wonder if there's an inyan that, like the Gemara's talk about, the Ramah brings us down the halacha. There's certain days of the month you're supposed to get married. Certain days, I think the second half of the month, no, maybe the first half you're supposed to get married, the second half of the month you're not supposed to get married. I don't remember which way it goes. So I don't remember saying that Belaila, there's an inyan to dafka get married Belaila. I know for practical reasons there it makes sense.
All happening
depends. No, it depends what time of the year it is. The winter,
summer,
it's Lila.
It doesn't get dark till.
Some years wait till 8:30, 9 o'clock.
You live in St. Petersburg. It doesn't get dark till 12 o'clock at night. Nobody gets married. It depends where you get married.
I just wonder if there's an Indian to get married after Lila.
What? So this Indian would say it.
Well, that's what it might be.
No, the Indian.
Right.
If I've never heard that's the case, that we passing that way, but the complication is if you get married, the chuppah can't be shkia, but between ben hashmashas, where you're not really sure the exact day, it has to be either before shkia, where you know it's definitely daytime, or after tseis, where it's vade laila. That's the issue. But in terms of dafka balaila, is it such an Indian? Right. Apparently, Maram Shif says. The chuppah, there's no derech, there's no inyan to get married dafka balaila. He quotes the Baron Tosas and Daf Beis Amud Aleph, which says chuppah took place by yom, not balaila. But others say no. The Yaveh is apparently Yaakov Emden, right? That dafka balaila person should get married. based on the Gemara. The Gemara says since chuppah is supposed to lead to bia, and bia is supposed to be belaila, so mamela chuppah has to be belaila as well. But the Shuas Rabbi Kiva Eger says apparently the minhag of many places were to delay the wedding, the chuppah, until after laila. But he says this is the ein lo yisod lo berishonim lo beachronim. Even though that was a minhag, there's no foundation, there's no premise for this. Okay, all right, so there's more there's a lot to talk about here. Okay.
So we have no solution to this, right? So it seems that it's chupa, not
yeah, because since the reason being because one of Yosef's statement about Lila, Lila's lav dafka now. Lila is derech eretz. It makes sense to say derech eretz.
Once you take that out, then there's only one thing that happens the first night.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So therefore, this is it must be chupa. Excuse me. That's mechayiv the tosefes and not the bia. Then the Gemara says, "Bayir of Ashi." Ashi asks further. Let's say they got married and she became a nida, and therefore, obviously, Tashmish is aser.
And then
he dies. So now the question is, this is not a chuppah that leads to bia, it's a chuppah that's also a bia. So I understand the first case where it's chuppah, even though there's no actual bia, it was chuppah, they anticipated the bia, that was enough of him to be willing to mischive himself with Tosefes. But let's say there's a chuppah, and he knows she's a nida, so it's going to be at least a week and a half until they're going to be with each other, so maybe there he's not mischive himself.
How do you understand from the girl that he died?
Rashi says that. But the reason Rashi says that is because we're talking about when he's chive to pay money. Why can't it be a case of divorce? I'm not sure why can't it be a case of divorce. The footnotes? Okay. Apparently there's a discussion in the back where Rashi limits it to the case of Misa. It doesn't mention Gerishin. So either way, that's the question. If she's piercing Nida under the chuppah, is he going to mechayv himself money at that point, the Tosefos at that point? So Imtim Salomer says the Gemara, Imtim Salomer chibas chupa kona. So chupa de chaz lebiya, va chupa de lo chaz lebiya lo. If you say it's about all about chibas chupa, which is like how we seem to paskin before.
I guess because it was nobody makes a party, like we said before, that nobody makes a party and gets divorced right away.
Maybe that could be the Svara. No, a person won't make a party and make a fake tainus pesulim. He won't do that.
Right.
But Gershon, let's say he found something that he was,
mum.
It could be that she was a big...
The reason he would have a divorce is because he had B and he found something he didn't like, maybe.
No, it could be her personality. He realized the personality was not for him. She was a...
She said, by the way, there's something you need to know.
I didn't tell you before that. All right.
So Gemara says, Imtim, so if you're going to say from the above Shaila, we pass in the Chivas Chuppah, it's Kone. So chuppah de chaz lebiya, ava chuppah de lo chaz lebiya lo. Maybe it's only a chuppah that has the potential for bia that night, but if there's no potential, maybe he's not willing to mischive himself. Odim aloshin armei, it doesn't make a difference. Chuppah across the board is going to lead to a chiv tosefes. Gemara says, teku. So Gemara says, Rehudo, me rata kosev lebsula. So we're going back to the Mishnah. Mishnah had a few different positions about how to write the ksuba, adding on, taking off. Yehuda was the most make up opinion. He thought that everyone starting off has to have 200 for a besula and 100 for almana. But the kalaka right, I received 100 already. I received half of it, even though she really didn't. It's her way of being mocheles, the part of the ksuba, and that's going to be sufficient for ksuba. So the Gemara asks, the savor of Yehuda, de kosvin shovar, does he permit you to write a receipt that she received a receipt that she received half the payment already? The Mishnah tells us, this is a Mishnah that appears in Bava Basra, Misha par miktas chova, somebody who paid off half his debt. He owes $100, paid off $50. So what do? Do you write a new document now, or do you write a receipt that you paid $50? So Misha Paskins has machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachlif. You have to be Yachlif. Rashi explains, Yachlif is... Exactly. Rashi top three lines from the top. Yachlif, yichtov shtar acher. Write a new shtar. Kidei chov anishar for the remaining debt. The karishon rip up the first one. V'lo kasev shuvar, don't write a receipt lahara kachalova, because the guy who was lent the money, the borrower, if he loses the receipt, he's tarech lishmor shovro min ha'achbar. He has to protect it from all the mice and the rodents who are eating the papers and the dogs. So it's not fair to him. If he loses that receipt, he has to pay the full amount again to the malva. So for his own protection, we're going to write a new document up, and all that, we rip up the first one. So the malva's payment, his collection, only says $50 you owe me, not the $100 initially. So that's what we do to protect him. But we write yachlif, we rewrite a shtar, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah tells us, Omer, yichtov lo shovar. No, you do write a receipt, and the lova has a responsibility of holding on to this. Why? The reason being, because now the malva, if you write a new shtar, the malva loses out. Because the malva is able to collect, let's say the lova, I'm the lova, I borrow money, I'm the borrower. Any land I sell after borrowing from David, let's say, he's able to collect from those lands, because he had a lien.
You always take from me. Why?
Because you have a lot of money. So you lend to me, and I sell my land. So if I never collect, you could take from that land. Now let's say we write a new shtar, pay back $50. I owe you another $50. We write a new shtar. So now that new shtar is written 6 months later. So any person I sold to before those 6 months, you no longer have a lien on that, even though you really do. But since the new shtar has a new date on it, a later date, any sales I made beforehand are not going to be included in your lien, even though they really should be. So you lose out on who you're able to collect from if we have a new document. So for those reasons, you have to keep the initial document and write me a receipt, and it's my responsibility to hold on to the receipt, not to lose it.
Now the bottom line is that not the malve, not the love. The malve gets the love. The love gets a benefit, and the malve doesn't make a difference.
For the second, if you're writing a new shtar or the shovar?
The malve has no effect on him because he's just borrowing and it doesn't make a difference. The love gets a benefit from third parties, not from the malve.
No, what are you talking about? Which way? Yachlif or the shovar?
Yeah.
No, if you write the receipt, so the love is at a disadvantage because I need to hold on to this receipt now. If I lose it.
On the first case,
writing a new shtar,
the malve gets a benefit.
No, the lova, I get, writing a new shtar, I get the benefit because I don't need to hold on to the shovar anymore. The malva has the responsibility of holding on to it. If you lose it,
I'm the one that you don't write the shovar.
Which means you write a new shtar, though.
Yeah, then so, only the malva gets a benefit.
No, the other way around. You write a new shtar, I'm the borrower.
Okay, the lova gets a benefit from a point of view that he doesn't have to keep the...
Right.
The malva gets a bigger benefit because if he lends some money to somebody and that guy comes to get. I know, he's the other way around.
Because now he has less property to collect from. The date is 6 months later.
Right.
So the malva loses out. So that's machlokas. Whose advantage? Is it to the malva or is it to the lova?
Right.
So, either way, what comes out is that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Bava Basra says, you do not write a shofar, you do not write a receipt. You write a whole new document. But our Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah here in Ksuvah says that you do write a shofar, that she writes a receipt, that I received half my payment already. So do you write receipts or do you not write receipts? That's the steer within Rabbi Yehuda, yeah.
In the case that the guy wrote the Enushtar, the malve loses out also because if he lent money to somebody, he's going to end up collecting, he couldn't collect from this property, and the other guys he can.
If he writes a new document, he loses out. He cannot collect from people.
Exactly. Right. Okay.
So within Rabbi Yehuda, again, there's a steer whether or not he, in general, his position is to collect, to write receipts or not to write receipts. Here by Ksubas, he says one can write a receipt, that the woman says, I received half my payment. But the Gemara is in, by Malvin Lova, he says one cannot write a receipt, better to write a new document. So comes the Gemara to explain, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, kishishovarsa mitocha. When does he permit one to write a receipt? When the receipt is written within the document. So our Gemara in Ksubas, the Mishnah Ksubas here, is where she writes within the Ksuba, I received $50. Like I have a gift certificate from Z. Berman, so I didn't use all the money. So when I come in, they write down that, you know, he received, took $50 out, now there's remaining whatever left on the balance. So that's what they write in the Ksuba. That's $200 was the starting point. They cross off 200, she received 100, the remaining balance is $100. So when you write it such like that, then that's permitted. But if you write a separate document, where the lova has to hold on to the receipt, and if he loses it, he loses out, that he won't allow. That's according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, you write the shovarta mitocha within the document. Abai suggests something different. Abai amar afilu temak b'she'en shovarta mitocha. Even if there is no receipt in the ksuva, still by ksuva you're permitted to write a receipt. Why? Bishma also makes sense over there by the case of malva lova. We're talking about real money that was lent and real money that's owed. So Hassan, by the Malva Lova, Vaday Parya, Dilma, where he definitely paid, the Lova definitely paid his half already. Dilma Mirkas Tavarta, he might lose Tavarta, he switched the Tuf and the Shin, Shavarta, he might lose his receipt. Umapik le the Shara, and now the Malva is going to take out the Shtar, which says no payment was made yet. Vahadar Gavi Zim Nacharina, and you're going to have to pay again. The Lova has to pay double. So there's real payment that took place. We have to protect him. So in such a situation, then Rabbi Yirmiyahu will not allow a receipt. He says, rewrite the shtar. But halacha about the case of the ksuba, vada yahavla. Did the husband ever give her? He never gave her anything. Milsa balma hidamrele. She was being nice when she was mochelas. She did him a favor. Now, he not or not. If he protects the receipt, so then he protects it. But if he loved not he would have an option, but he loses out. There's no real money being passed over here. Exactly. So if so we're not going to put her at a disadvantage. She's giving him, do a favor for him. So if he wants to be a responsible individual, he should hold on to the receipt. But what?
Why is the favor been made to begin with?
Why would I say it again?
Why is she smochelo to begin with?
She really likes him.
It's a said thing or it's a specific case?
Specific case. Specific case.
Huh?
Specific case.
Oh, no, it could happen. I mean, it's just an example. Maybe she's very wealthy and he doesn't have any money and she wants to be nice to him. Or...
Yeah, so... Okay, that's how Rava explains the case, the difference between the Ksuba's case versus the Malva Lova case. So now Gemara wants to know, Bishlama Abai Lo Amar Krabi Yirmiya Lo Katani Shavarta Mitocha. I understand why Abai didn't explain our Mishnah like Rabbi Yirmiya, who Rabbi Yirmiya said that you write the receipt within the document, because it doesn't say that you write the receipt in the document. It doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah anything like that. So he wasn't comfortable with saying like Rabbi Yirmiya. Ela Rabbi Yirmiya, my time Lo Amar Krabi. Why didn't Rabbi Yirmiya say like Abai said that there's no real transferring of money here. She was being nice to him. She's mochelas l'ksubadim. So if he watched it, he watched it. If he loses it, he loses himself. So says the Gemara, the reason why Rabbi Yirmiyahu didn't answer like Abai is gezeira shover dehacha ato shover b'dama. They didn't want, because if you permit a receipt in the case of a ksuba, so then it might lead to someone permitting a receipt in a regular malva lova case. So therefore, across the board, low plug, the Rabbi Yehuda Paskins, there's never any receipts given out to any form of documents, even though it might make sense. By the ksuba, we don't write receipts. The only heter receipt, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, is if you write the receipt within the actual document, you cross out the initial amount, and you rewrite the new owed balance.
Wouldn't it be more logical that you write on the shtar as opposed to understand the again, it's Bishlam the right? Bishlam Abaye, Lamar Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, I agree. I think it makes most sense from a very practical standpoint. Just take the initial document and cross out and write the new dead and initial, and then seems to make the most sense to me also.
Right.
I don't know why.
What does that mean? What's his logical? Shobart mitocha? What does it mean?
The receipts within the document, which I think what I said, that you cross out the old balance and write the new balance and you initial next to it. That's my guess. Let's look at Rashi. See, kishishavarta and bisocha. This is four narrow lines down in Rashi. He says, "Besocha ksuba asma." Within the ksuba itself, yichtov ashover. You write the receipt. I think so. Vehi amra bifneinu hiskabalti chetzi, and she says, "In front of us, I accepted half the amount." The time am I? I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Ain kosin shover mishum deloid tzarch lover l'shomu me'achbarim. The reason in general he doesn't permit one to write a receipt because the rodents might eat it. D markav if it's going to get rotten, hader ha v'gavish shara kula. He's going to collect the whole money. Hachalek lemeches l'hachi. But when it's written in the star, there's no concern anymore.
Now the case is different, but here the case is different because unlike a normal case when I borrow money to you, so you have responsibility. I have one side of the shtar, meaning the original shtar, and you, if we do a receipt, if there is, in this case, she needs to keep them both, meaning the ktuba.
Mm-hmm.
No, he has to keep the money that she gave him.
Forget about money, about the shtar, the ktuba itself.
The ktuba, she keeps it.
Huh?
Right, so he says she keeps the shtar, she keeps the ktuba.
But he has
and
to
if there is, she also, she keeps the receipt, so
no,
it's
he
not
keeps the receipt.
He's like the borrower.
He's like the borrower.
He owes money to her.
Yeah.
So she's this Maksuba, you owe me money, she says to her husband. She's the Malva.
Okay, she's the Malva. Yeah, okay.
So but I agree, this seems to be the most logical approach to write within the document.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why not.
Alright.
Why you wouldn't take that. Okay. Now the Gemara says, time of the Kosri Le. This whole discussion of Rabbi Yehuda that he writes off, that she rather writes, I accepted half the money as the Malva, it's only if she actually writes it that I received half the payment. Aval al peh, if she verbally says, I accepted it, lo, it will not work. It has to be written in the document saying it's not enough. So the Gemara says, why not? Am I? Rabbi Huda's understanding, his opinion in general. But he normally holds that a person can make a tanai on monetary tanaim conditions. Ditanya, Ha'omer l'isha, a man says to his wife, Harei am kudesh li, you will be married to me, al manas, on the following conditions, shein lecha alai share k'sus v'ona, that I have no responsibility of paying you any of these, of ona, clothing and food, everything, I'm parted from all this. Harei m'kuzem kudeshes, the kedushin's chal, the tana batal, divrei Rabbi Yimir. The tanai is nonsense, you can't make a tanai in the davar mitorah, the chiv that the Torah makes. So therefore, the tanai is completely knocked out of the picture, and the kedushin's chal, that's all according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between different types of obligations. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the davar shebe mamon tanai kaim. When it comes to davar shebe mamon, which is share v'ksus, not ona, ona is tashmish, that's not a davar shebe mamon, but share ksus, clothing and food, those types of things, that can be chal. A person may make a tanai on davar shebe mamon. So if he holds that you can make a tanai on davar shebe mamon, here too also, why does it have to be written? Why does she have to say, I accepted half the payment of the ksuba? Can't she articulate that, make a tanai on the davar shebe mamon, I received half the payment? Shouldn't that work also according to Rabbi Yehuda? So explains the Gemara, Kesavi Rabbi Yehuda ksuba dirabanan. He holds that ksuba is only a requirement midirabanan. The chachamim also chizikli divrayim yosem mishal Torah. They wanted to strengthen, we find this in many places, that they wanted to strengthen the din of chachamim more so than the dvar Torah. So even though a tanai midavar Torah chiv, a din deraisa chiv, a person can be mevatel a tanai midiraisa, when it comes to a tanai that was instituted midirabanan, namely the ksuba, that a person may not be mevatel al peh. That's the distinction.
You were talking that she, everything we're talking that she did be'al peh was in front of Edim, right? Otherwise, it would be not important.
The chora being in front of Edim, yeah. Yeah, imagine
otherwise
so.
There's nothing to discuss. Right. Yeah, it's like non-existent.
Okay. So then Gemara says, Hare peros dirbanav lav dulei rabbanon lechizik. What do you mean? The chiyav peros is something that the chachamim obligated if the wife brings in a certain property with her. So she owns a property, but the husband has every right, midirabanan, to eat all the peros. So peros is a din dirabanan. But the rabban didn't make such a chizik. A person may make a tanai in the peros, saying that I have nothing to do with the peros. Even though it's a davar midirabanan, one can make a tanai, as opposed to what we said above. The person may not make a tanai on a din dirabanan. How do we see that? The tanai in the Mishnah tells us that a Mishnah that's found in the Ksubas itself, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Li Olam Hu Ochel Peir Peris, a person, a husband, is able to eat all the fruits and the fruits of the fruits until Ad She Yichtov Le Din Vidram Ainli Benichsech, Beperosain, Beperis Perosain Ad Olam. Until he writes that exact language, I don't have anything to do with your property, with the fruits, the fruits of the fruits, forever, then he's completely removed from it. But if he writes that language, he can remove himself from that Tanai, even though the Tanai is a Midirabanam, a person may be Mevatel a Tanai Midirabanam.
That the Baal tells his wife that his mochel on her nichse meluk and the peros of the nichse meluk that she has.
Right. So even though midir ban, they said he may have the peros, he can be mevata tanai and say I don't want anything to do with those peros. But before we said that it came to b'divrayhem, that chacham asu chizik l'divrayhem, and you cannot be mevata the tanai of the Tosefes ksuba. And here we say you can be mevatel tanai midir banan.
Here it's true.
Different parties, the different people are playing different roles. The husband's being mevatel
on his part from
exactly.
Miluk.
But still, it's still a tanai midir banan that Bittel works on.
Yeah, but he doesn't really need that much protection. The husband
usually. It's still, nonetheless, that it's on. We'll see what the Gemara answers, okay. But still, it still is a tanai midrabanan that he has the ability to be mevatel.
Right.
So we see that lo asu chizik ledivrayim. So the Gemara on the top of Nun Vavam and Beis tells us now v'kaimalan, and we also hold my kosev. What does it mean when it says kosev? Omer means Omer. He could even say that. He didn't have to write it, but he could even say that I don't want anything to do with your property, your fruit ad olam, and it's going to be chal, even though it's a tanai midrabanan. So Amar Abai explains l'chol yesh ksuvav lo l'chol yesh peros. No. Ksuva is something that applies to every single marriage as a ksuba. So since that applies across the board, the din derbanan, the asu chizik l'divrayim. When it comes to peros, not every single woman is going to bring a property into their marriage, and peros is not going to be shaykh in every single relationship. So therefore, the Gemara says, milsa d'shchichi, of the Rabbanim. When there is something that's pretty common, which is, again, a ksuba, which happens in every single marriage, so then they are also chizik l'divrehem, and therefore they said you cannot be mevatel the tanai, you cannot be mevatel the ksuba, even though it's midi Rabbanim. But milsa de lo shchicha, something that's not common, bringing in property into the marriage is not something very common, even though it's spoken about very often, it's not necessarily often. Lo avdu bei Rabbanim chizik, they did not make any chizik, they allowed the husband to mevatel such a tanai. Right, so the Gemara says now, harei chamarim, yishchichiv lo avdu bei Rabbanim. What do you mean? Chamarim, different, these were literally, I think, donkey riders, but people who come bring to sell produce from city to city, which are pretty common. These are already called peddlers, I guess. That was a word we remembered last time. The peddlers would come in. And they did not make chizik l'divrehem. What do you mean? The tanan, hachamarim shenichnesu l'ir. Two different donkey riders bringing in, Tvur Rashi explains, came into the city. V'amar echad mehem shali chadash v'shel chaveri yashin. We saw this before, right? Yeah. We discussed this before. We saw chav dalet also this Gemara came up. Okay. So two donkey riders came into the city. One had said, my stuff is new. You don't want it. My stuff is still new. It's not good to eat. They wanted to wait till it dried out. Once it dried out a little bit more, then it was really ready to be eaten and to be processed. My friend over here, he's got really good stuff. Buy from him. No, look at Rashi. Rashi talks about actual new and old. He does mention the fact of Omer, but he rejects that. He rejects Chadash and Yassin. Okay. Talks about actually Metzias.
In that case, I thought when we learned it, we didn't know that. Here's a Shali. Because Chadash. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you have Chadash and Lo Chadash and Metukan and Lo Metukan. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So Metukan is talking about Miser. Okay.
When I was in the Shuk last time in Eretz Yisrael, so there were like two food people and like screaming out different prizes and like going lower and lower and lower. I was thinking of this Mishnah. They're probably like working with each other. They probably brought the same probe. They're like, mine's right across from each other and like trying to bring the price down just to say, that guy's $10. I'm selling for $5. And like the next day, they probably switched who was going to be doing the sale. So this Mishnah came to mind. So they said, okay, my stuff is old. Buy from my friend across the street.
What?
The oldest street.
So then the Mishnah says further, or if he says, my stuff isn't tithed yet, but his is tithed. He has the Truman Mises, he was taken already. Buy from him. We don't believe them because they're probably playing tricks with each, on us, you know, being gomel with each other. Today is my day, tomorrow I'll help you out. No, we do believe such people. We trust them. So what's the concern here? So this is a din d'rabbanan because there's a concern that everything might be demai. Maybe things weren't, there was no mice or Truman taken from this. Yet, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, he says we trust him nonetheless. Even though it's a din derban having to take trumas and maestros on these things, he said you could believe him anyways. So he's makel. So Gemara explains, Amar Abai says, Vadai the derem of du rabban chizik, Savik the derem lo of du rabban chizik. When there's a vadai derban, like the ksuba was a vadai derban they made to have give a ksuba. Then they made a chizuk l'divrehem that a person cannot just be mevatel such a tanaim. Safek l'divrehem, the demai, there's no vade. They didn't say this fruit is vade, no maiser or truma. We don't know. It's a safek. They said, since it's a safek, the chum obligated to take trumas and maisers from it. Or maiser, I should say, not trumas. They took truma. Took maiser from this. But since it's only a safek, so we could trust them also. It's a much lesser level divrehem.
Meaning the question here is that the Chachamim made a takana on demai, and mm-hmm. these guys are we have a doubt that they might be together. Like,
right.
So then if you say that we force it, the Chachamim, then they should take demai. Is that what it is? That, is that what
no. Normally
they should do again demai. They should bring a
takana. Normally, Lachitz, if you go buy from the shuk from a farmer, you don't know who he is. So we assume that they didn't take maiser in it. So right. I have to buy it. Need to take maiser. But let's say a guy says, no, that guy took Meister, you could trust him.
Okay.
But even though he's also, he sells produce. So in this case, even though there's some suffix whether you could believe them, in this case you could rely that he took Meister, because the whole basis of the requirement to take Meister and demai in the first place is all based on a suffix. We just don't know. It's possible there was Meister.
So we're saying that in this case the Chachamim were not how does this apply to, I don't understand, how does this apply to the...
I mean, they only make chizik l'divrayim when there was a vaday. When there's a vaday, they made a vaday takana. The takana based on vaday. Ksuba was a vaday. It's a definite institution of giving ksuba.
But here, would be the point that it has to be retaken, because since it's my, it has to be retaken.
Right, exactly. The requirement to retake it is a din derban, but it's only a din derban based on the suffix of the Messias. We don't know. since it's a very low level divrayim, they permitted in this case to rely on these individuals. Then comes on Rava. Rava gives another answer. By the way, this machlokes Abai Rava. This comes up a few places in Shas. Whenever you have answered questions about demai, Abai always says because savik divrayim, and Rava always says b'demai hekilu. We are more lenient by demai. Rashi explains why is that different than the first answer for Abai. So Rava, or rather Rashi explains around 10 narrow lines down b'demai hekilu. Mishar Safek Divrayim. This is even weaker than other Shar Safek Divrayim. It sounds like from Rava that normally by Safek Divrayim, Asu Chizik LeDivrayim. But Demai is even more lenient than a Stam Safek. Why? Says Rashi. Vafilu Safek Lesset. We don't even view this as a Safek because the Rova Am Haaretz Ma'asrinhin. The truth is, most farmers, even though they might not be so learned, most farmers actually do take Meiser also. There's a small percentage who didn't. So they're very machmir to require people to take Meiser on things that are demai. But since it's such a small percentage, in a case of where someone says that my stuff isn't Masukin, but that guy isn't Masukin, we could trust him because it's so far-fetched. It's not even a suffix, says Rashi. That's the position of Rava versus Abaye. Okay, good. Gemara now says, to Dat Rabbi Meir, Omer Kol Poche, so this Mishnah tells anybody who takes off any amount, was it part of the Mishnah or was it the Gemara?
The
Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah, was it? That's the last line of the first mission of the par. So Rebbe said, anyway, anyone who takes off any 200 from a besula and 100 from an amana, the bila is going to be considered a bilasanus. It's not a good ksuba. So Gemara says, but it's just reminiscent. Maybe Adam would appreciate this most because I know you like Gittin. Reminds me of by Gittin, if there's something wrong, you have a slight change on the nusach of the get. So then the children are going to be mamzerim. I think where it says, because they wrote something different in the get, it's going to be mamzerim. It's like Ramir says, yeah, call Mishana mi batbeesh tavu chachamim, harei bilas nus and vlad mamzerim or something. Remember this? This line comes from a few places in Gittin. He's very makbid on these different, I guess, documents and stuff. I'm just wondering if this is a general sheet of his. Anyway, so the Gemara says, call poches afilu b'tanai. So anyone who lessens the amount of money, even if it's in the Tanai, even from the Tanai itself, even from the Tanai, it's going to be a bilasnus. So, let's see. Gemara says, Alma kasavar Tanai batal v'islay. So the Tanai is batal, and he has that responsibility. Wait a second, what am I reading here? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi writes, kol poches afil b'tanai. Says Rashi, midilo tana kol besula, shein la masayim valmana, shein la mana harez bilasnus. Since it doesn't say that way in the Mishnah, it's called poches, then Shmamina Dahachi, Ashminan. Shafapi she gover levasof, even though in the end of the day she's going to collect the full amount, then Tanai Kaim, because the person cannot make a Tanai on the amount of money, Afilu Hachi, still nonetheless, came into Mikara Asni, since he made such a Tanai in the beginning of the first place, Karile Bias Nus, Mishum de Mishas Bi Alohavis Sam Khadaita Abakshuva. So even though in the end of the day he's obligated to pay the money, the 200, since he initially had married her with such a Tanai, even though the Tanai was not effective, her das was not, she was not fully in. She was not somech das entirely. And that alone is makes him the bias nus. Even though he's obligated to pay the money, the bia is considered bias nus. So says the Gemara now, let's read that again. From the two dots, call poches afilu but tanai. Even with the tanai, even if you make the tanai, alma kasavar tanai batal, the tanai doesn't work. You can't less, like, can't take off the 200. V'isla, he has to pay the money. V'chem and amar les lelcha. Elamana, lo samcha daita. That's all Gemara explains. Since he says to her, I'm only giving you 100, she's not going to be samech das. V'havile b'yaznus. And she's not going to be fully into this marriage. And then the bila is going to be considered b'yaznus. Is that really true? But v'hashemina le the Rebbe Meir. We heard from Rebbe Meir. Otherwise, amar kol amasne amashkatz b'torah, tanai batal. The person who makes a tanai on a chiv mederaisa, the tanai doesn't work, it's batal. And sounds like it would be a good marriage. And she should be samech das that she's going to get the full 200 amount. So Gemara says, no, ha, but they're banan tanai kaim. But when it comes to a tanai midirabanan, then it would work. Only by a tanai midiraisa does it not work, but a tanai midirabanan would be effective. So this would be a tanai midirabanan. Why? What's the tanai midirabanan here? The ksuba. Right now, the Gemara assumes the ksuba is midirabanan. So only by tanai diraisa is the right merit thing is batal. But Tanai Midrabanan, which is a ksuba, at least in the Havmina, is a Tanai Midrabanan. The Tanai should be Kayim, and he shouldn't be have to pay the full amount, and it should be a good marriage, and it shouldn't be a Bias Nuts. The Gemara says, no, Kesara Rabbi Meir, ksuba Midraisa. He argues, what we saw earlier in Amun Aleph, he thinks ksuba is Midraisa. And since ksuba Midraisa, if he makes it Tanai, that Tanai is going to be Batal, and he's still obligated to pay the money. Ah, so why is it a Bias Nuts? Since she's not Tomech Das anymore on this, it's not considered a full marriage, and therefore a Bias Nuts. Mark quotes a brisa from Rabbi Meir, Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Ka poches me lebesum mesayim v'almanem mi mane. Anybody who takes off the amount that he owes either one of these, ha'rezu bias nus. That's the bias nus, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. B'yosi Omer Rashai, no person is allowed to take off some of the money. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ratza, kose lebesula, shtar shem mesayim, hi kosevez leskabalti mimcha, mane. A person like we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda holds that you have to write initially 200, but she could always write off, I received 100. Or if it's an lal mana, he could write that I owe you 100. V'hi koseves liskabalti mimcha chamishim, and she could write I accepted already 50 from you. Amuchalasus. Fine. So those are the three opinions. Savar Rabbi Yosi Rasha. Does Rabbi Yosi really permit one to take off the amount of money in the ksuba? Ruminhi. Gemara quotes a brisa. Ein osin ksubas isha metaltlin vipnei tikkun olam. A person just shouldn't view ksuba as metaltlin, just movable objects. Which means, Rashi says, "Ein miyachtin metaltin l'ksuba." Don't appoint, don't designate metaltin as a form of payment of ksuba. And Rashi explains further, "Mipnei tikkun olam, shema yavdu o yifchasu demayim." Because let's say they're going to lose the property, or they're going to go down in value, they're going to depreciate. So it's not fair to her; she won't have what to collect from the full value. Comes along Rabbi Yosi now, the Braisa continuing, and says, "Rabbi Yosi v'chimat tikkun olam yesh b'zeh, v'lo ein ksuba mipochsin." So what's the tikkun olam here? Are they not set values? Are they not set, and you can't lessen from them? So even if let's say the metaltim do go down in value, you still have to pay the full amount of 200. So we see that Rabbi Yossi is very set. Before we thought that Rabbi Yossi permitted Rashai, he permitted one to change the amount of the ksuba, but here he says no. You're allowed to use metaltim to designate it because whatever's left over from let's say you owe 200, and the bike now is only worth $100. So you still have to make sure to pay the difference of $100 to her, because that's set. No, but the idea is coming out that Biosi doesn't allow you to diminish from the amount that you owe her.
Yeah, but one place she's Michael. This place, nobody's Michael anything. It's just that the guarantee for the ksuva is worth less.
But I guess by her willingness to marry within that situation would seem to imply that she was mochelis, whatever the value is going to be at that point, I'm willing to accept. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara says. So what's the? How do we answer this? So the Gemara says Tanakama nami inosin kamar. So Tanakama also says
right,
you can't do this.
Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi hold the same.
Right. So what's the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama? So el alav halchi kamar. Is this not the way to read the brisa? Bamed v'mamurim. When is this true? She'ei b'shelo kibol alav achraus. When he doesn't accept upon himself achrayos, that you cannot be miyachin metaltlin. Aval kibolav achrayos osin. But if he takes upon responsibility, then he can be miyachin metaltlin, because that means since he has achrayos, he'll pay the difference out of pocket. Vas Rabbi Yosi lemeimar, and like that, Rabbi Yosi comes along to say, ki kibolav achrayos amai osin. When he takes upon himself achrayos, why is he able to make metaltlin? Valo ein ksuvim pochsin. Are they not set? What's this line saying here? What's this last line saying? I'm not sure why this makes sense, because Rabbi Yossi says, even if you take achras upon yourself, he says it still won't be effective. Why won't it be effective?
Because the ksuba is not secured, and thus you can't use this for stuff to be designated for the ksuba.
Even if he takes responsibility to pay the difference out of pocket.
says here he accepts a karayas for loss or theft. Does loss mean loss of money or just loss, they lost the object? What if it goes down in value?
Because he's only taking achrayus on aveda and
the object, not depreciation.
He's not taking achrayus on depreciation.
Okay. So that's a shot. So he says, I'll take responsibility for the actual bike, let's say. The bike gets lost or stolen. If it goes down in value, he's not going to pay the difference. So he says, that's not fair to her. She's owed the $200. And the bike depreciates to $100. She's not going to get her full amount. So the question still remains, though. We still have a steer within Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi before says one's allowed to be poches, rashai, and here he says one's not allowed to. So the Gemara answers as follows. Hashta ma hasim de dilma pachse chai shab Yossi. Hacha devade kapachse lo kol shagain. So there, where there's only a chashash, there's only a suffix that it might go down in value, Rabbi Yossi was very makbid that you can't designate a bike. Let's say a bike doesn't go down in value, for example, or something that's a little more set that doesn't depreciate. But there, he's still concerned as a, even though it's unlikely, you cannot designate metalton. But here, where you're being vade poches, you're vade saying, I only owe you 100, I don't owe you the full Messiah. So in the little culture, and Rabbi Yossi wouldn't permit someone to do this. So Gemara says, no, hachi hashta hasam lo yada detachil. No, there, by the case of the bike, we designated the bike, she doesn't know to be mocha. There's no mechila taking place there. That's why he doesn't allow you to be miyachid and metalton. But here, she knows. She's willing. She knows what the ksuba says. She says, I'm willing and I'm being mocheles, my side, and therefore Rabbi Yossi would permit it in this case. That's the difference. Her knowledge and her willingness to be mochel is the difference between the case here and the case by the metalton.
Can we review that?
So this part was as follows, that Rabbi Yossi had this opinion that a person is allowed to be poches from the ksuva. But then we added another brayso that talks about being miyach and metaltalin for collection, a point of collection for the ksuba. And there Rabbi Yossi did not permit you to because you might go down in value and she's going to lose out the difference of
the
bike. That's a brayso. So he says you're not allowed to lessen her amount. And where he says, no, the difference is by the ksuba where you lessen the ksuba from the beginning, she was quite aware that her ksuba is less. So she was mochelas. She was willing to get married anyways. So that was a mechila. But the case where you designate a bike to collect from the ksuba, she didn't know it's going to depreciate. She's never willing to get less, take less money and to be mochel. So in the case of mechila, where there's no mechila rather, Rabbi Yossi doesn't permit you to be miyachim metalton because she's losing out. Right. Only where she knows and she's willing to
like
be mochel.
If she's consciously mochel, then it's okay.
Exactly.
If she's not consciously mochel, then it's not okay.
Exactly. Okay, shkoyach.
Shkoyach.